Hey, First Things First listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now let's start the show. First things first, what is Bruce Arians letting Tom Brady do that Bill Belichick never would? We'll tell you. The Pack is back, but should they be favored to win the Super Bowl over Knicks defending champs? We'll let you know. And will Josh Allen get his revenge on Sunday? It is Tuesday morning. Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, it is you versus Bills Mafia this week. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, I like my chances. I really like my chances. And Bills social media team, you're not helping your guys out. They're not helping them out.
Nick, I have a good relationship with them. I can get you out of this.
No, don't want to.
It's too late for that.
Don't want to.
We will get to the NFL in just a second. We got to start, though, in the NBA. Top two favorites in the East. You got your Bucks and the Nets with the top two superstars in the East. You got Giannis and KD. Oh, and a guy named James Harden. What a game this was. Kevin Durant sinking a clutch go-ahead three. 36 seconds left to seal it for Brooklyn. How about KD and Harden? Old Thunder friends, new Brooklyn friends sat on their park bench like bookends. Here's James Harden on chapter two for this duo.
We were young in Oklahoma City. You know, we're grown men now. You know, we know what we want. We really know the game of basketball now. You know, we're not those young guys that just run around and want to just shoot and dunk all day. We know the games. We know spots. We know, you know, teams, players. We're more advanced. And then for me, you know, as I sit back, I know what type of player Kevin Durant is. You know, he's one of the best players that ever touched a basketball. He's God-given, you know, 7 foot, can basically do everything. So for me, it's not trying to compete with that. It's allowing Kevin to be the best Kevin he can be. And I'm going to make sure that I can make him better and then make my teammates better. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's actually nice to hear some life back in James Harden. That guy wants to win. Brandon, did last night prove that the Nets are the team to beat in the East? What, Brandon?
I don't know, Jenna. I mean, Kevin Durant, 30 points. James Harden, 34 points. Did you even watch the game last night and see Joe Harris? Joe Harris from 3, 5 for 7. It seemed like every time the Bucks got close, Joe Harris just banged a three at the right time. I mean, they were 54% from the field, 48% from three. Absolutely, they're the team, Jenna. I've been saying it. And I know Nick was going to get on, oh, well, what about this on the defense and that on the defense? It doesn't matter. We're going to outscore everybody in the NBA this year. Our team is so nice. And we don't even have Kyrie back. I know there's a big question mark around Kyrie Irving. But when he gets back and his mind is right, oh, my goodness, it's lights out. And there's whole question mark and all the questions surrounding this team about the chemistry and continuity. Did you see James Harden last night and KD work together? There was times where James Harden had the ball and KD was like waving him off, like, take it, go, go, go. We have no issues. We're going to be totally fine there, Jenna.
I love it. I love it.
I love it.
Go ahead, Wilds.
Oh, sorry. Oh, hey. Well, I just 100% agree with Mr. Marshall. Nick, I know you're worried about the defense, I think this was a Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni masterpiece. This is what they've always wanted. You're going to say, historically, oh, well, historically, schmistorically, because you've never had two guys not like this on the same squad who can just light it up. And Kyrie's not even back. And when Kyrie's back, I think it's going to be a huge problem for you. I think it's going to be a huge problem for the Lakers. I'm 100% Team Brandon Marshall on this one.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right, folks, listen.
All right, Nick.
Welcome, buddy.
All right, I respect the fandom, and, you know, a little birdie fandom told me in my ear, because if people don't know, Brandon lives in Florida, but every Monday night he's in New York City for Inside the NFL Responsibilities. I think Brandon very well may have snuck into Barclays last night. I think he got that jersey at the game with friends and family, because as limited people can go to these games, but I feel like Brandon Marshall was there. And, you know, when you have a star-studded crowd with Brandon Marshall, I think Deshaun Watson might have showed up. When it's on national television, when it's MLK Day, when you're playing the favorites or the previous favorites in the East, you would think if there was ever a night where you might show the world, you know what? For 5 or 6 minutes at a time, hell, 5 or 6 possessions at a time, we have the ability, when need be, to lock down defensively. You'd have thought last night would be that night. And so here's what I would like to do. I would like to show the audience something. Don't play the clip just yet. To Brandon, you watch this as well. Maybe we can let everyone watch it together. Try not to watch the Bucks players. Watch the Brooklyn players. Because this is every basket Milwaukee scored in the final 6 minutes of the game. And what you will see is, and we can start it now, is free runs to the basket, offensive rebounds, and, oh, that's five guys standing and looking. Let's see the next one. Oh, okay, you forced a miss, but unfortunately you have no rebounding. That's a layup. Oh, is anyone going to close out? Nah, that's for the birds. Okay, let's see what the next one looks like. You might, okay, no, that's a 7-foot open three. Let's see what the next one looks like. Oh, you actually forced a miss, but again, you can't rebound. Let's see what the next one looks like. Oh, just a wide open, uncontested jump shot. We'll let's see what the next one looks like. Getting right to the rim. What am I talking about? They weren't forced into one tough shot the entire fourth quarter, Wilds. The second half of the fourth quarter, pardon me. You can't win this way.
What about the last shot of the game?
You can't win this way.
Nick.
The last shot of the game. That's correct. Yeah, Brandon.
First,
they literally won the game.
First, we won the game. We won the game. Mm-hmm. And we did it against two of the most premier defenders in the NBA. Yeah, we 100% Jenna, we. Mm-hmm. You have Drew Holiday.
All of a sudden.
And then you have the reigning defense of MVP. So the questions should be more about who are the Bucks and less about who are the Brooklyn Nets. You got Giannis, reigning MVP, two-time MVP, back-to-back MVP, defensive player of the year. So shouldn't the questions be more aimed towards them and less against KD and James Harden, two of the best players in the NBA, and you're questioning them?
Oh, absolutely, if anyone on this panel was picking the Bucks to make the finals, but nobody is. You guys are picking the Nets to make the finals. You guys are picking the Nets to win the finals, to win the championship, and I am sitting here telling you right now, they cannot get stops. Of course you can win a game like this. You can win a lot of games like this. You can win. In fact, Steve Nash can tell you, you can get the number one seed, win 60-plus games, outscoring people. They played DeAndre Jordan last night while it's 38 minutes because they have no other options. And if you think you're going to win playoff games, 125-123, okay, you'll be the first team in modern NBA history to do it. I'm excited to see it. But they can't get stops, Wilds. And by the way, Kyrie coming back is not going to help them get stops.
Oh, so you want to talk about Kyrie?
Be a lone man on an island. That defense matters.
It's just,
but we'll see. We'll see.
It's interesting to me after two games now, everybody's saying, oh, this team is good. Yeah, okay.
We're going to have Chris Broussard weigh in, which should be oh so fun a little bit. But we got to get back to the NFL and the most anticipated offseason in recent history. What is going to happen with Deshaun Watson? We discuss next. First things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
It's hard to imagine the Texans can't find a way to make things work, but Deshaun was left on the outside of the team's GM search, and the team was somehow not all in on his preferred coach candidates. Thus, Deshaun is now reportedly not returning the Texans' phone calls. Yeah, but did you try texting or DMing? Maybe Wilds Bird can deliver a petition. Either way, they cannot get in touch with him. Brandon, you are way ahead of this story. Here's what you said last Wednesday.
So Deshaun Watson is looking at this thing and saying, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable here. And there's other players like Dwayne Brown stepping up and saying, I wasn't comfortable there. This is a big story, and I think this is just the beginning, Nick.
All right, Brandon, that was last week. So now today, as we sit here this morning, has Deshaun, in your opinion, played his last game with the Houston Texans?
Absolutely. We will never see Deshaun Watson in a Texans uniform again. There's two things here that you got to look at. One, you got to think about this organization and how they play, the role they play or have not played when it comes to social injustice and just being leaders in the community. They have shown you who they are, right? Time and time again. So when you look at that during these times, 2020, racial tension soaring, talk about it all the time. How do you have a black quarterback and you handle these situations this way? And then on the other end of the spectrum, you look at the football team, it's like, why should he come back? You trade away my best player, DeAndre Hopkins. He goes out and have an all-pro, Pro Bowl-type year. And then you look at the offensive line. They're just okay. And then on the defensive side, you really don't have anything over there. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm looking at the situation like, this is my time to get out for those two reasons. Ownership is a mess. And then on the field, we have no clue what we're doing. We have no GM. We have no head coach. Now, obviously, they're going through, they're doing their diligence and trying to fill those gaps. But at the same time, this is not a team that can go out there and compete next year. This is a team that is 3-4 years away when you look at their salary cap and you also look at what they have in the draft, which is almost nothing, Nick.
Yeah, so I agree with almost all of that. But if I'm the Houston Texans, the only thing I have is Deshaun Watson. And so if I'm going to trade Deshaun Watson, I see people are tweeting me like, hey, could the Patriots get him for 3 first-round picks? No, you can't. Laramie Tunsil, went for two first-round picks. Jamal Adams went for two first-round picks. Jalen Ramsey went for two first-round picks. I wouldn't trade Deshaun Watson for all three of those players. That's six first-round picks. So, Wilds, I am going to create a new marketplace. I'm going to try to be an innovator here. Here is the trade
for it
that San Francisco or whomever should offer. It's never been done before. You give us Deshaun Watson. We give you our first-round pick every year he's on the roster in perpetuity.
Is that allowed?
So as long as he's our quarterback, that sure, you could. Until we trade or cut him ourselves, you get our first-round pick.
Yeah.
If you want to put an expiration date on it of 2029 where it caps out at nine first-rounders, fine. But that's the trade. That's the only trade I would consider if I were the Texans. Otherwise, you can't get fair value. So you want Deshaun. I want your first-round pick every year he's on your roster. The moment you decide he's not worth it, you cut him, and your obligation expires. You no longer owe us anything. But if he's your quarterback, we get your first-round pick. Otherwise, there's no value here.
Terrible,
the whole point of the draft is to try to find a franchise quarterback. Deshaun Watson is 25. Everyone's like, oh, you know how old Lamar is? You know, everyone's like, everyone compares him to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's 24. Deshaun's 25. You can't trade this player unless you are getting franchise-changing equity, Wilds.
I love it. All right, so I've got my own offer. I think the Jets need to make the Bizarro Godfather offer. Here's why I'm calling it the Bizarro Godfather offer. Think Michael Corleone at Lake Cuomo, and you got that corrupt senator in there. Mm-hmm. Senator's Nick Casario at this point. Casario, you can have my offer now if you like. My offer is this. Everything. Everything you want. Whatever you want. Look in the Jets draft capital, suitcase, and you can take it all, including the gaming license, which I will pay for personally. Because here's what's happened to the Jets, Brandon, and you can get your carrot top, bag of props ready. The Jets went from, hey, should Trevor Lawrence skip the NFL draft and stay in Clemson, or should he just pout his way somewhere else? To Deshaun Watson last night going to a Nets game and making a full-on music video set to the Diplomats' I'm Ready. If you have, I cannot imagine a more obvious signal to New York media than Deshaun Watson making a music video to the song I'm Ready, Brandon. To get Joe Douglas, who is a huge Diplomats fan, I've heard, the big heads up and like, hey, buddy, I'm ready. Come and get me. So to me, Joe Douglas needs to make a Bizarro Godfather offer. Anything you want.
Listen, it doesn't get more New York than this. I mean, this dude took a page out of Paid in Full. What is Paid in Full? Is a movie released in 2002 with Mekhi Phifer.
That's the car from Paid in Full.
Of them being in Harlem, 100%. So this dude is telling you exactly what he wants. He wants out of Houston.
Let's go.
And he wants to come to my Jets, 100%. I absolutely love this move by Deshaun Watson. But, Nick, I want to go back to you quickly. This is bigger than just football. So when you talk about getting value and going through the different scenarios, I disagree with you. If it was all about football, 100%, I think it's hard to get a deal done. But now we're talking about an organization going back 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took his first knee and how they botched that situation with Dwayne Brown and what the owner said.
Brandon.
Right? So this is bigger. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that entirely. Sorry for interrupting you. And for the audience that doesn't know it, I was down there when that happened. I was down there. I lived in Houston. I covered the team. That's what I did before I worked for Fox. So I know how far back this goes. And I understand for Deshaun, it is deeper than just football. What I am saying, if I'm the Texans, you are the only thing between you and totally irrelevant is Deshaun Watson.
That's their fault.
If you are giving him up. I agree with you. I agree with you. But he can't trade himself. And so if you're giving him up, I just think you, if the return is three first round picks, they butchered this. Like, it will be Nick Caserio. Yeah. It'll be grand opening, grand closing. If that's the return,
and
it'll that's
exactly what's going to happen. When they made the decision to trade DeAndre Hopkins, when they made the decision to say, "Look, we're going to have you in this meeting and a part of this process," and they went to the other end of the spectrum, they made that decision that they were going to tear up their entire organization. Deshaun Watson is not going to play in Houston again, and now they have to deal with that for the next 10, 15 years. That's on them. That's on ownership for being exactly who they are.
I agree with that.
And by the way, back page of the post, whatever it takes, what W.A. Watson. Guess who liked the picture? One, Deshaun Watson. He's all in on Brandon Marshall's take. Time for Knicks NBA medals. Steph Curry had a game high 26 as the Warriors rallied from down 14 in the fourth to beat the Lakers. But what? Steph missed out on the medal stand? How is it possible? Nick, who are the three players that did more than Steph Curry last night?
Yep. Great second half by Steph. By the way, the Lakers didn't lose one game all year last year where they led heading going into the fourth. They've now lost twice like that this year. Something to watch. Silver or bronze medalist is where we should start. Zach LaVine, he's an all-star this year. He's been outstanding. He's scoring 30 seemingly every night. Zach LaVine gets a bronze medal in a win over the Rockets. Silver medalist. Listen, nobody likes the guy anymore because he hasn't produced in the playoffs. Giannis! My guy Giannis!
Not
34, 12, and 7.
Oh, your guy.
And a loss to the Nets. Yeah, I love Giannis.
Big loss.
My large adult Greek son. He's not actually my large adult Greek son. And the gold medalist of the evening. One James Harden. Hey, fellow national television personalities. Word to the wise here. You are telling on yourself with your tweets about, oh my gosh, James Harden's changed his game. No, he hasn't. Oh my gosh, James Harden, when he's a willing passer, guys, he's led the league in assists before. Every time you send one of those tweets, it's like, oh, you never watched a Houston Rockets game. Am I right now subtweeting my friend Chris Hayes a bit? Just a little bit, but he's not the only one. So, folks, James Harden gets a goal. He is a spectacular offensive player. This is a very good win for the Nets last night. There you go, Brandon. I give a gold to your guy, James Harden.
And that's two nights in a row, so you might as well just commit to saying that this is the team to beat in the NBA. That's 2 days in a row that our team, Harden and KD, was sitting at the top. Mm-hmm. So just make the commitment, Nick. It's okay.
He won't do it.
Listen, if this were make it, take it, I think they'd be the huge favorites, Jenna. Unfortunately, it's not, and you got to get stops, and it's going to be a problem.
By the way, James Harden laying off the Gatorade, looking pretty good now that he's here in Brooklyn. But I assume, Wild, somebody missed the cut in your opinion.
No, I'm saying Kevin Durant. Well, rarely seen tough guy Kevin Durant. Because Giannis does kind of a cheap move. It's like, I hate tailgating when Trae Young does it. I hate when Giannis kind of gets in the way. It's a little bit of a moving pick. Tough guy Kevin Durant. Excellent work. You know what it is, Nick? It's that grit. It's that Brooklyn grit that we're seeing. We're no longer in Silicon Valley anymore.
And we don't play
Brooklyn grit. Oh, I love it.
That's not defense.
We don't play defense. We're not a tough team.
All couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight, Durant. Come on.
We gotta change sports back to the NFL. Hey, can Josh Allen and the Bills avenge their Week 6 loss to the Chiefs? Stakes are raised on Sunday. That is next. It is First Things First.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Hope you don't have weekend plans. The playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live. Tom Brady and the Bucks, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Come on, does it get any better than that? Pre-game coverage starts at 1 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. I'm probably going to watch. All right, time to run our conference championship edition of the No Huddle. And we're going to start with them Bucks. Bruce Arians has given us a little peek into how he and Brady have operated this season. He said, quote, "I allow him to be himself. Like, New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch." Way to steal a paycheck, buddy. So, Brandon, what'd you make of Bruce Arians' comments?
Spicy, definitely spicy. Not surprised it came from Bruce. But look, if I'm Bruce, I'm like, man, I try to take this back. You can't say this. They got 6 Super Bowls doing it that way. Now, look, there's different ways to win, Nick, but, you know, you got guys that give the power to the quarterback, give power to the players. You look at New England, you look in Green Bay, even out in Seattle. People have different formulas to get it done. New England has a specific way, the New England way, and they have great coaches there. They have a specific plan there, and it's the same for Tom Brady. That's what makes this work is Tom is just another guy in that locker room. They coach Tom the same way. So they won 6 Super Bowls, so they must have been doing something right, Nick.
Yeah, listen, to paraphrase the greatest living American, Beyonce Knowles Carter, Bruce Arians sure is feeling himself, huh? Yeah. Couple playoff victories over Taylor Heineke and Drew Brees while he throws 3 picks. And all of a sudden, you're Monday morning quarterbacking the most successful coach-quarterback relationship in the history of sports. I'm not here to give New England credit, but, I mean, they did make 13 conference championship games, 9 Super Bowls, win 6 of them. One of those Super Bowls they didn't even have to cheat or have any scandals associated with, which is one more than Arians has. And in Brady's entire tenure there, the one thing Arians has done with Brady that Belichick never was able to do is fail to win the division. So, come on. Like, stop it. Like, just to Bruce, I'm happy for you. It's a good week. But let's not go critiquing how New England turned the 199th pick into Tom Brady. Let's not do that, Wilds. Come on.
Great job.
It's crazy talk.
Hey, 2 Patriots fans. You and me, buddy, 2 Patriots fans. I'm loving it. I think Bruce Arians got a small point. Perhaps if Bill Belichick changed his ways, he could have more than 6 Super Bowls. Oh, hold on a second. Walter Cronkite moment from Wilds. What was that? Oh, he has 8 Super Bowl rings because he has 2 with his defensive coordinator? Yeah, so, or maybe Phil Simms could have coached too, and he could have gotten maybe 10 Super Bowl rings. I think we're okay, but I do like Nick being, you know, refreshing his Patriots fandom with me.
Bruce is like, I'm sorry. I had no idea. On to the Bills now, who are looking to avenge their week six loss to the Chiefs up in Buffalo. This time, they'll be at Arrowhead, but also this time, they'll be a little more confident, having just beaten Baltimore. So, Brandon, should the Chiefs expect to see a completely different Bills team than the one they beat back in week 6?
Yeah. Absolutely. Teams get better, Jenna. We know that. Did the Saints get the same Bucks? Come on, they played them twice this year. And what you saw was a better Bucks team. This is a young Buffalo Bills team that's getting better every single play, every single game. Josh Allen is trending in the right direction. Their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams guys, everyone is trending in the right direction. These guys are still figuring out how to be successful week in and week out. And the team that really, you know, we really should be focused on is the defensive side. Like, that unit started off this year bad. They were banged up on the defensive line. They had guys in and out of the lineup from the linebacker position. And since week 7, they've been trending in the right direction. Look at this. How do you go from being one of the worst defenses out there to now being great in almost every category? Completion percentage, yards versus yards to pass, touchdowns to interception, passer rating. This defense is great. Yeah. You saw them last week stand up to the challenge to stop Lamar Jackson and that running attack.
Yeah, so I love this. And listen, Buffalo Bills, all year long, you've been saying Josh Allen's the real MVP. You have the real best offense in football. Listen to what Colin Cowherd's been telling you. You have the best weapons. You have the best aerial attack. You have the most diverse offense. So So don't do what you tried to do. If you remember week six, it was we're going to run the ball. We're going to try to control time of possession. Yeah. We're going to dare the Chiefs to run. We're going to try to keep it low scoring. Don't do that, Buffalo. Just go try to outscore the Chiefs. It's definitely what you should do. It is definitely how you can prove me wrong personally that Josh Allen is everything you say he is. Go, hey, Chiefs going to score 35? Who cares? You're going to score 42. Don't worry about ground and pound time of possession. Just go outscore him. That's definitely what you should do, the Buffalo Bills. I see no way it blows up in your face. And this is the ultimate chance you have to show that the best quarterback in the AFC actually lives in Buffalo, not Kansas City. So yeah, completely different game plan. I think it'll work out brilliantly, and I think it's what they should do. I'm very excited.
Thank God you're back, dude. Thank God you're back. Because yesterday, I'm sorry. I apologize to Josh Allen. I apologize to Tom Brady. I'm Nick Wright.
I never apologize to Josh Allen.
No, dude.
I didn't apologize to Josh Allen.
Stay focused. Let's go. Bills Mafia is making fun of you. Get focused. But here's the problem. Clyde Edwards-Helaire last game ran for 161 yards against the Bills. Nowhere to be seen. Yeah. And Nick, you haven't really had a substitute for him. So I'm wondering, I think the bigger question is not, will the Chiefs see the same Bills? It's will the Bills see the same Chiefs? You guys got to get some action on the ground because the Bills will put up a lot of points. But the more important thing is, I want you to have your swagger back. No more hat in hand stuff from you. Let's go.
There was no hat in hand.
Nick's got his mojo.
I've never lost the swagger related to the Bills. I've never lost it.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's talk about the updated Super Bowl odds. The Green Bay Packers are the new favorites in the clubhouse, moving ahead of the defending champion Chiefs. Bills and Bucks to follow. But, Nick, you surprised, though, that Green Bay passed the Chiefs as favorites to win the Super Bowl?
Surprised, shocked, appalled, offended. Wild's wondering why I got my swagger back, offended, as he put it. Two things happened yesterday. The first thing, the Buffalo Bills social media team finally posted a tweet that got engagement. Unfortunately, to do it, they had to steal my videos and my takes without my authorization, trying to do it to mock me. So that got me feeling a little something. Then I saw this. Then I saw, for the first time all year, there is a team that Vegas says is more likely to hoist the Lombardi than the Chiefs. And I said, the hell is going on here? Are we really going to do this? You're really going to allow the team with the most talented quarterback of all time, with arguably the fastest wide receiver and arguably the future GOAT tight end, a team that just won a playoff game with its backup quarterback, without its starting running back, without its starting number two receiver. You're going to let that team add to its treasure trove of reasons to win. Wait, what is this? Oh, it's the nobody believes in us card. Oh, it's the underdog card. Oh, it's the us against underdogs, the world card. That you're, we're gonna, yes, yeah, that's right, buddy. So yeah, so that Chiefs, know this. Mahomes gonna get no MVP votes. Nobody thinks you're even, if you make the Super Bowl, you can't beat the Packers. It'll be great. So yeah, I'm a little surprised, Jenna, but I'm delighted about it. Yeah, that's right, the Chiefs. I don't even know. I don't even know if they should show up to Arrowhead this weekend. I don't even know.
Nick, you're blinded by your fandom for your team. We know where you're from. We know you love this team. But the reality is, they haven't been playing lights out the last 6 or 7 weeks, buddy. They haven't. So am I surprised? Yes, I'm surprised because no one's listened to me. I keep saying Bucks and Bills. The hottest team right now, mm-hmm, outside of the Green Bay Packers is the Buffalo Bills. You have Aaron Rodgers, who's probably going to win an MVP, you know, so I get it. But if I'm an odds maker, Wilds, I'm probably leaning towards the Buffalo Bills. But I get it. It's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs. I'm surprised that the line moved this much after beating a Rams team that without Aaron Donald. It's like, I still think that Bucks game, you know, really weighs on the Packers' mind. If one of Aaron Rodgers' worst games ever, I don't think everything has totally changed. So I'm expecting a game that feels like that old Packers game versus the Bucks, rather than a brand new squad.
Mm.
What's just that, real quick, if I may respond to Brandon on 2 points. One is, Brandon said, I'm blinded by my Chiefs fandom. No, I'm blinded by the glistening diamonds from the Super Bowl ring that they're still wearing, getting ready to get another one. That's first of all. Second of all is this. There's a fun thing we do where we're like, this is the hottest team. No, this is the hottest team. No, this is the hottest team.
Yeah.
You know what I think the hottest team is? The team that hasn't lost a game that Patrick Mahomes played in since the first week of October. That's the team. The team that you don't have to be like, well, if you remove...
The people don't agree with you.
Well, because they're listening to doofuses like Peter Schrager and Brandon Marshall and Colin Cowherd, and they're tricking them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Schrager, take that away, Schrager.
I didn't understand gambling. Now I
know
get
what
it.
You're doing, Schrager.
You know who's not in this conversation at all is Russ.
Adam Lefkoe gets some of this too.
Russ is cooking. Didn't yield a fabulous dish like we all thought. So now what? We'll discuss next. Keep dropping names, Nick.
It's enough.
Got a 3-minute commercial break.
The disrespect. The disrespect.
The playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Bucs take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. That's going to be awesome. Time now for stories to start your morning, brought to you by Subway. Talking Seahawks now, who are in need of an offensive coordinator after moving on from Brian Schottenheimer. Can I interest anyone in a former head coach who just got fired after 2-14 season? Anyone?
No.
A new report says the Seahawks has spoken to former Jets coach Adam Gase about the vacant OC spot. Oof. I'm sure Jamal Adams is thrilled. All right, Brandon, let me start with you.
That's not going to happen.
What's on the line for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks if they don't get this move right?
Yeah, so Jenna, this was my last real run. And I built a good relationship with Russ there. We had some really cool conversations, some intimate conversations. And I also saw the dynamic within the building. It was Shoddy's first year there as the OC and trying to establish what he wanted to do compared to Russell and also Pete Carroll. There's a breakdown in philosophy there. I truly believe if Pete Carroll doesn't get this right, if he doesn't bring in the right OC, if he doesn't really hear from Russ and let Russ be comfortable with being the quarterback of this team, not just handing the ball off on first and second and third down, then there's going to be a lot of sleepless nights in Seattle. I truly believe right now Pete Carroll's on the verge of botching the Russell Wilson era post Legion of Boom. Ooh. That's what got you to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl then, right? Like playing great defense and running the ball and then winning in the fourth quarter. But that's not where he's at right now. You got to think about Russell Wilson. This whole let Russ cook thing and being the MVP. Like, this is a guy that wants to be great. He doesn't shy away from that conversation. I don't know any great quarterback that hands the ball off on first down, on second down, and on third down if it's third and manageable, and then say, okay, go win the game in the fourth quarter. There's a lot of talk. He validated what I believe because he threw a couple picks in a couple of games. Well, let's compare Russell Wilson to Peyton Manning, and let's ask the question, did they ever take the ball out of Peyton Manning's hand? And this is a guy who can go down as he's probably one of the, top three quarterbacks of all time in Peyton Manning. Look at the touchdowns. Look at the interceptions. This dude had a few bad games in his career. That's it. So this whole thought that Russell Wilson can't cook, this whole thought that Russell Wilson is not a guy that can drop back and throw the ball around, it's ridiculous. And Pete Carroll, please, if you're listening to our show right now, don't botch this because you have a phenomenal quarterback. You have a guy that can lead the way, but right now you need to listen to him and you need to change your philosophy. Even if you're right, you're probably going to be wrong, because if you have a player coming into your building every single day and he's uncomfortable knowing that you don't believe in him, or if he's uncomfortable with the offense, it's not going to work. So Nick, this is a real problem in Seattle, and Pete Carroll needs to get this right.
100% correct. And it is noteworthy that Brandon's last NFL catch came from Russell Wilson. And that this isn't just, random. There's a reason we're talking about this here today, because this is a simmering story. Also, hearing Brandon talk about Pete Carroll and his offensive philosophy, I feel like Pete Carroll and Jenna Wolf would be great friends because they're both somehow stuck in 1988. It's like the world never changed. The world kept moving, but for Jenna, it's Danny Ainge, Michael J. Fox, and Back to the Future. And for Pete Carroll, it's run.
Nothing better.
As if we have to. Like, they both just wish the Reagan era days of yore. It's like, no, man, the world has moved.
Yes.
Like, the world has evolved.
Yes.
The NFL has moved forward. And if you all of a sudden decide to quadruple down on your philosophy and end up hiring Adam Gase, who Adam Gase trying to answer an age-old question. One of the oldest questions in world history is if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? The second oldest question is this. If a young white coach is ever called a quarterback whisperer, can he ever actually be unemployed moving forward? Adam Gase testing that theory. Like, well, maybe not. Maybe it's a lifetime job no matter the wreckage you leave in your wake. If his reward for leaving the Jets the way he did is he gets handed the keys to the Maserati that is Russell Wilson, so they can keep it parked in the garage until they're down four with 6 minutes left in a fourth quarter and then say fire it up and reach full speed. It's insanity. So I don't know what Seattle does. Yep. I know Pete Carroll has as much power as any coach in the NFL, but I also know he's about to be 70. And Russell Wilson's going to be playing quarterback in this league much longer than Pete Carroll's going to be coaching in this league. And right now, Russell Wilson is a far more valuable asset as a quarterback than Pete Carroll is as a coach. So you don't want to be in a position where you have to make a choice, but you also have to lean into the best player in the history of your franchise, Russell Wilson.
And I don't know if he's capable of doing it, Nick. Like, he's a defensive guy. Don't forget about it, right? And he's done the same thing for a very long time. But there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Because this year, what happened? That defense was dreadful. That defense was on a run to be the worst defense in the history of the NFL. Everybody knew what they did. Like, you can go 3-by-1 on third down, 3rd and 4 to 6, and if you put that Tyreek Hill play, the same play that the NFL can't stop, nobody seems to stop Tyreek Hill going to that 3 spot, running across the field on a diagonal and catching the ball 30 yards down the field. If you do that against Seattle, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have KJ Wright on you, and it's going to be lights out for you. So Pete Carroll, what did he do when we start talking about change it up, you're too predictable? He started blitzing more. That wasn't his defense. And then they start getting back on track. So Pete Carroll needs to embrace change, especially on the offensive side, because you could potentially lose your once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. And the last thing, Wilds, DK Metcalf. That's another issue. You're talking about the next Megatron on your team who could be the number one wide receiver for the next 10 years in the National Football League, and you're going to ask this guy to block on first, second, and third down? Did you not see what happened in the last game on the sideline, him slamming the helmet? You know what he was telling us? I want the ball. Now, is it a selfish act? Probably went as far as how he did it, but you got to think about it as from a wide receiver's perspective. My success lies in your hands. Offensive coordinator, quarterback, offensive line, Pete Carroll talking about run. So you got the Russell Wilson issue, and you also got your star wide receiver. He's not going to be happy just being average in the NFL. He wants to be great.
So Brandon, it feels like Pete Carroll should be able to solve this, because a lot of it seems like it's just because they started losing games and kind of underachieved in the playoffs. Through week 1 through 9, remember, they were crushing, throwing for 300 yards. Yep. And then from week 10 on, kind of fell apart. And here's the thing that you were mentioning. Through week 9, they were 6th in pass rate. And then from week 10 on, they were 22nd. They did start just running. But the question for you is this, Brandon. How much tension with a franchise quarterback is just part of the deal? Like, Aaron Rodgers, who might go to the Super Bowl, had a ton of tension even in the draft. Tom Brady had too much tension with Belichick, ended up leaving. So you saw a little bit of tension for all these guys. Deshaun Watson, obviously, like a raging inferno that's unsalvageable. But where on this scale do you think the Russell Wilson-Pete Carroll relationship is?
No, they have a great relationship, and that's why I think they're on the brink of actually trending in the wrong direction, is because you have Russell Wilson, who's always a team guy. He's always going to say the right things. He's always going to lead the way. He understands the big picture, but he's also looking at himself like, how much more time do I have left? He is a guy that is concerned about his legacy. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. Okay. This is a guy who wants to be great. And if you throw that graph up there for 10 seconds, let me answer that as well. So you talk about the top two, if I have time. Well, I don't even have time to even talk about it. But they shifted their philosophy. They went from passing the ball to running the ball, Jenna. And they don't have any type of mid-range game in the passing game.
And they don't got great running backs.
Quarterback situation in Seattle.
They don't have a great offensive line or running
back. Quarterback situation in Houston. You're right. We got to go. More on this tomorrow. Undisputed starts right now.